Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, we thank God for that word that just came forth. And at this time, we have another speaker, Minister Timothy Abeja. He's going to be speaking to us about the relation to education. This is the topic. And he is the chairman of mobilization for the ASLPN. And also, he's head coordinator for Christ Apostolic Church in America and Canada as well. So, Pastor Timothy Abeja, if you would come at this time, let's give him a welcome as he comes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We're here to pray, and prayer is embedded in praise. So don't let us be too calm. When we are praying, we are excited. There is excitement in it because we believe that what we are saying is going to come to pass. Praise the Lord now. And so there is this excitement, the enthusiasm that we are talking to a living God, and we believe that whatever he says will come to pass. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I have the privilege, by the special grace of God, to stand before us to share with us a message that is established in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 12. That is the topic that was given to me, and which we're going to expand a little bit together. Amen. Book of Matthew 11:12 says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesy until John. And if you're willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He was here. Let him hear." The book of John 16 and verse 16. Luke 16:16. That's Luke, not John. Luke 16:16 said, "The law and the prophet were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. The law and the prophet were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing unto it." Amen. The next verse, 17, says, "It is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail." So the point I'm looking at is very open, at least reading it to us from two passages. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we are here to learn from you, and the illumination of that we receive from you will encourage us and gear us into a right aspect of prayer. And we pray, Lord, that your spirit will give us understanding in the name of Jesus, Daddy Lord, we want to thank you because you are God and you change it not. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. And within that few minutes that I have, I want to, from the scripture I read to us, I want to first of all tell you the kingdom of God that was referred to in those, the two passages that have been read. What exactly is the kingdom? And we want to talk about the principles and the authorities of the kingdom citizens. And then number two there, it's cyber violence. That really had to do with the spiritual warfare and the violence that take it by force is the solution and the strategy. First of all, what is the kingdom? If we said the kingdom of God sovereign violence, we need to first of all look at the kingdom. What is the kingdom? I know each time these statements are made, people's mind boom, quickly go to the futuristic of it. We think about the kingdom that is coming when God will reign as the supreme king and the Lord of lords, and everybody will go into it. Many of us think about the heaven, the last day, when all of us will go into that which heaven is preparing for us. Which, so whenever you hear the kingdom of the coming of the kingdom, we quickly jump our mind into that. Well, of course, that is the kingdom. That is it, the kingdom. But then when Jesus was speaking here, he was not talking about the future one. He was talking about the present one. And so there is the future, there is the present. And what exactly is the present kingdom? You know, when you look at that book of Luke, even by chapter 17 of it, Jesus referred to the fact that the kingdom is here, right in your midst. And so he is talking about something that we need to have some understanding about. The kingdom of God referred to the new system, a new order. A new order, which is different from what they were living with or doing before. Until that moment, you know, the people only understand the Judaism. They understand the concept of the law. They understand that which Moses have established thousands of years before, and that is what they live by. That's the system of the law, which was given to them, which they understood from the Torah, which is the law given to them by Moses. But Jesus now said, from the time of John the Baptist, which represents something. What is the time of John the Baptist? The time of John the Baptist starts a new order. It is a new system. It is a new kingdom, which is alien to the people that was listening to Jesus at that time. And as a matter of fact, was alien even to John himself. Because don't forget, what prompted this statement was the question John asked. John sent a message to Jesus and said, are you the Messiah that we are expecting, or we should expect another one? Don't forget, that was where the whole issue came from. John found himself in the prison, and he felt kind of lonely there, and nobody seems to understand what he was going through. In his mind, he is suffering for that which he believed was the right thing to do. He was only preaching the gospel that was committed to his hand, and because of that gospel, he was arrested, and they put him in the dungeon. And nobody came there to visit him. He was not visited. Nobody paid him attention. It's like he was forgotten there. And he heard that Jesus was still there ministering around. So he sent his disciple, go talk to this man. Are you the Messiah that was to come, or we should expect another one? I know each time you think about this thing, something comes to your mind. Why will he do that? Was he not the one who introduced him? He was the one who introduced him and said, that is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Now said, the one, the Holy Spirit have told me that upon whosoever the Holy Spirit landed, you know, in time of a dove, must be the Son of the living God, must be that Lamb. Now the same John was doubting his testimony. And so sometimes we look at that, how does that happen? Well, I'm not going into the exegesis of this, but I can just quickly point out here that those of us that are members of any particular church or we're ministers, we need to know how to support our ministers. We need to know how to at least encourage them. We need to know how to make them feel that they are not alone in the race. You see, minister to everybody, but who minister to the minister? And that is one of the reasons why the month of October, like this, they call it Pastors Appreciation Month. You know, ministers are human beings. They are not God. They are not angel either. And we expect great standard from them, but whatever it is you want to get from them, they cannot be so naive to think that they are more than man. They are human being, period. And every human being need cancer. Every human being need encouragement. Every human being need love. Every human being need support. When that is not there, even a great man will begin to act as a less man. You know, John was not just doubting, but he was left alone. He needed support. He needed some people to understand what he was going through, and nobody was there. And to his greatest amazement, Jesus didn't even come there to visit him. And would Jesus have gone there to visit him? Of course, that's going to be too hard, far-fetched. And since Jesus was not there, he became discouraged. So there is what you call a burnout, even for ministers. We expect ministers to be next to God. They don't feel nothing. They are like a robot who are godly in everything. They don't live in this world. They live in another world. They're not human. You can press them. You can punch them. You can shout on them. You can do anything. Maybe they are ministers of God. They're supposed to understand. Now, when we do that, we're killing the spirit in them, and we're not encouraging the work of God. So that's the only thing I just want to throw to you there. But the kingdom that John was expressing here, I mean, that Jesus was expressing, was not even known to John. And Jesus was now saying, you're going to take this story back to John. You need to let him hear what I'm sending you now. Because he himself was blind to that. We can see down here now because we have seen the revelation of what has happened in the scripture and everything. We can judge John. We can interpret everything. But as of that time, John did not know what was going on. He was a beginner of something that was so strange and alien to him. Did not even know the magnitude of what God was starting through him. He was the forerunner of a new dispensation, a new covenant. And he did not have any idea of what he was getting himself into. And Jesus simply said to him, this kingdom that we are starting, this kingdom that is beginning now, it is violent. It is not going to be as usual. Because this kingdom is the kingdom of light. And wherever light comes, some forces will fight it. When light is received quickly, it means it's not a good light. A great light will be fought. When you have great anointing of God upon your life, then you must expect trouble. Anointing draws troubles. Anointing draws confusion. It draws tribulations. And they must fight it. If you have that which is of God in you, then you must expect to be fought. If nobody fights you, then it is not God you carry. If you carry God, people will fight you. The reason is because the men of the world are of the devil. The Bible said the heart of man is desperately wicked, is evil, and men love the work of darkness more than the work of light. Automatically, darkness will always fight light. And since John did not know that, Jesus had to explain to him. Until now, until this moment, you may have had it the other way around. From this moment and henceforth,
which is the beginning of a new dispensation, the beginning of a new covenant, the beginning of the new order, there is going to be violence. They're not going to take it kindly. They're not going to accept you as usual. Okay, you are the prophet of Messiah, and they just say, welcome, sir. No way. They're going to fight you. They're going to make your life miserable. It is going to be hard. This is a new kingdom. It's a new kingdom that want to liberate people. A new kingdom that want to set people free. Anytime there is an attempt to set people free, the kingdom of the darkness will rise against it. Darkness does not like freedom. Darkness thrives in suffering. Darkness thrives in making life of people miserable. That's what darkness is all about. But the kingdom of God is the kingdom of light. So the present day kingdom, in other words, with Christ now on the throne, of course, there will be a fight. That kingdom which is the present kingdom. And the third aspect of it is that kingdom which is dwelling inside of you. And that kingdom dwells in you. Whosoever that had, you know, the spirit of in him is the Son of God. Whosoever does not have the spirit of Christ in them, they are now the children of God. And so the only way you know is the spirit of God that takes over your life. When the kingdom takes place in your heart, in your life, then the word of the king is manifested. The Bible says wherever the king is, there is what? There is authority, and there is deliverance, there is blessing. So now the entrance into this kingdom we know is a new birth. When you want to get into this kingdom, it is the new birth. You must come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because anything that is of the Spirit must go through the baptism of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. The book of John chapter 3 from verse 3 to 5 told us that when God was explaining to Nicodemus about, you know, the new birth, like without being born again, you cannot see. The first one. Second one is, verily I say unto you, unless a man is born of the Spirit and of the water, he cannot enter. You know, that is the kingdom. Now, in other words, even though we are here, but we belong to a kingdom. It is an unseen kingdom. The kingdom is not a space. Like when we talk about America now, America has boundary. That is what you call it, the kingdom of America, is seen. The kingdom we are talking about are not seen, but they existed. And they control the one that is seen. That's the mystery there. The mystery of this kingdom is that it controls the seen, but they are not seen. They are invisible, but they control the visible. Praise the Lord now. When the Bible, when Christ simply said to Nicodemus, unless a man is born of spirit and of water, he cannot enter. He was talking about when the kingdom of God is established in you, you come in and out. You are a dual citizen of the kingdom. You can enter the kingdom even while you are here. And this is the reason why we're all here. Our prayer simply represents entrance. We will not be praying if we don't believe that something could be accomplished through our prayer. And you see, we pray because we know we are, you know, exercising some unseen power and unseen grace, which the men of this world cannot understand, but we believe in it. You stand here and you call things to come to pass, and it comes to pass. The Bible said, whatever you shall ban in heaven shall be ban on earth shall be banned in heaven. Many people will question that. How, if it, heaven is the one that controls the earth, how come you ban on earth and it is banned in heaven? It is so because even though you are here physically, but you can at any time enter into the kingdom through your prayer. And so when you enter into the realm of prayer, you are not here. You are actually there. Praise the Lord now. Amen. So when you are into prayer, you move from the realm of the flesh into the realm of the spirit. That is the dual citizenship. You are citizen of this nature. You are also citizen of the supernatural. You move into the supernatural and you command there, and heaven and earth respect what you say. Because you are not of the earthly kingdom, you are of the heavenly kingdom. And the heavenly kingdom controls the earthly kingdom. So whatever we ban is banned here, because we command it not from the natural realm, but from the spiritual realm. Praise the Lord now. Amen. Amen. And so when he said the violence, the kingdom suffer violence, simply means, because when you look at the word basileia, which is the word for the kingdom, and you look at the basartex, which is also the violent, which has to do with forcefulness. You know, this kingdom will face attack. It will face a whole lot of attack. Violent men will attack it. And then violent men take it. Violent men will attack it. And then violent men will take it. He said, those who will take it will be violent, because those who are fighting it are also violent. In other words, when you look at the word violence, we quickly start thinking, oh, does that sound like the earthly anger, being angry and fighting like the way men of the world will fight? No, it's not the same. We don't fight as the men of the world fight, but our fight is nonetheless very ferocious. It's very, very ferocious, but it's not as the men of the world fight. We fight in the spiritual realm. We get angry in the spiritual realm, and we are forceful in the spiritual realm. And see, when we pray and you see people agonizing in prayer, it's being forceful in the spirit. That is also being violent. In other words, if you're going to take anything from the devil, you must be higher or greater violence than the kingdom from which you want to take anything. The Bible gave us the example of that. It said, if a thief comes, what he first does is to put the landlord of the house in bondage and then take all of his property. Amen. Huh? Uh-huh. So which means the one who owns the property want to protect it, yes or no? But he is not as violent as the one who come to take. The one who come to take, he comes with expectation and with the readiness to destroy even the owner. So if you love yourself, you quickly say, yes, sir. And let them take whatever they want to take. Otherwise, he will kill you and he will still take your property. So now you turn it around. When it comes to the spirit realm now, the kingdom of darkness believe they have it. Everything is in our hand. Now we come as the children of light, and we must come even more violent, that we're going to put the kingdom of the darkness in bondage. And thank God, Jesus has done that for us. The Bible said, when in the book of Ephesians, when he said he ascended and descended, he put the captivity into captives. So that which we want to bound, he already has put them into bondage. So what we need to do is to step in and to take what belongs to us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so when you want to see the kingdom of God reign and establish in any particular situation, you must know that there is a force that is controlling a force, and then you come as a ready soldier to take over. And the example of it we can see from the Israelites, when God took them from Egypt and said, now you are going into the land that is flowing with milk and honey. But this land flowing with milk and honey has residents. People are living there before they came. And God said, you will go and take over from them. And then Moses sent spies. They go check. And they went and checked, and they came back with news. They said, we've been to the place, we spied it out. They said, truly, the land flowed with milk and honey. They didn't lie about that. They said, truly, it flowed with milk and honey. They said, but the but there is that the land consume those who dwell there. You see, those that are not violent in the spirit, that's the way they talk. They will always tell you it's not possible. When you want to do this, they say, it can't be done. When you want to do that, they say, you can't do it. Don't you look at this? Can you see this? Can you see that? Can you see this? So these people now contradict themselves. They said the land we went to spy is good, though. But that land destroyed and consumed the inheritance, the habitants. Now the second line they say, but in the same land we saw giant. The land destroyed is inhabitant. Is the land where you have giants. So who are the inhabitants? Which were the one being destroyed? Which were the one that are giants? Now contradiction. Those who are weak in the spirit will always have excuse when it comes to the fighting. They will say, it is not possible. Don't you know what you are up against? How can you fight against this system? How can you fight against that system? But when you believe in your God, the Bible says you need to be strong. And that is being violent. They that know their God shall be what? Strong. And because they are strong, they will end up doing exploit. But if they are not strong, even when they are looking at their inheritance face to face like this, they can't take it. Because somebody or something surround that inheritance. And then when you look at those things that surround the inheritance, they will say, we can't stay. There is no way we can take these people because it's not possible. And that was what those people said. We cannot take the land because there are giants, there are Anakai there. We can't take them. And they messed the whole things up by finally saying, in our own sight, we look like a grasshopper. They didn't even say in the sight of the enemy. They say in our own sight. So that says that before you can make any accomplishment or success or any stride in anything in life, you must first of all perceive your victory. If you cannot see that, then you can't have it. You can be a great woman of God, great man of God, but the enemy will still scare you. It will still come against you. It come against Christ, so yours can be different. It came against Christ, they're going to come against you. And they said we were like grasshopper in our own side. Now looking at the situation of this country, if we want to look at it from the concept of those, the Hebrews, we were like grasshoppers, honestly. We are up against what? So many mighty forces. We are like nothing. But we do not see ourselves as they did. We see ourselves as more than the conqueror. And so through him that loves us, we can conquer. We are not a grasshopper. We don't have the spirit of the grasshoppers. As a matter of fact, we are the giant. They are the grasshoppers. And we can consume them because we go against them and we take it in the name of the Lord. Joshua said, let us not say talk like that. If the Lord is for us, we can conquer them. Actually, he uses the word, he said, they are just our meat. We're going them to eat them up. They look strong to you, but they are nothing. The moment you approach them, they will become as a jello. They will become vegetables. They can stand. And that is the attitude of the violence. Amen. That's the attitude of the violence. They are the one that will take it by force. Situation in this country simply made it clear to us that there is a violence that is fighting. But then we that are greater violence must take it by force. So we cannot really, why are we doing this training in the first place? It is to prepare ourselves. Prepare our mind. Because the whole thing is in the mind. If your mind say you are a failure, then you are a failure. If your mind say you are a winner, then you are a winner. It's your mind. If your mind, the Bible say, as a man think, so he is. The Spirit of God makes us things as a winner, and we become winner. The spirit of the devil says you cannot, and you find out you cannot. It's as simple as that. And when we see ourselves as a winner, of course, we are winners. Any day, anytime. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because of the kingdom in our lives, the enemy will recognize you. The enemy will recognize me. The enemy knows who you are. The enemy knows who I am. You are the one who does not know who you are. But you know, the enemy knows who you are. Unfortunately, many times we think that the enemy don't know. They simply use the word to Paul. They say, Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. But who are you? That's the point. So I need to round up right now. For the connection that we have in the spirit, it simply says to us that we have, you know, an enemy, an accuser that should be cast down. And we have all the power already at our disposal. The book of Revelation 10 says that we overcome the enemy. We overcome the devil by what? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Because of that, we become more than the conqueror. We are the overcomers. We are not the loser. We are the head. We are not the tail. And once we know that, we fight as a winner. And as we fight as a winner, the kingdoms are subdued before us. Those who left Egypt could not get into the promised land because all of a sudden they allow inferiority complex to take them over. They forgot about the God that made a way in the midst of the Red Sea. They forgot about a God that brought water out of the rock. They forgot the God that suddenly bring food out of the whole wilderness for days. They forgot this God that just brought meat to them free of charge. All of this thing they forgotten. And when they at the little first step of the test of their life, they ran for cover. But their children came later and they did what they could not do. The same people. Now look at the difference. These people left Egypt. They saw so many things. Their children didn't even see that. But their children reached the world by faith and they overcome and they conquered the land. I believe that whatever it is that we are up against in America today, we are more than the conqueror through Christ who loves us. Amen. Shall we pray? I need us to rise. I'm supposed to lead a few minutes of prayer. And I want us to pray now. I want us to pray like we're supposed to pray. Some people will say, you know, some people are even making it. Somebody sent me a WhatsApp of a minister praying and said, if you want to do warfare, he said, go to Africa. We are the one that knows how to do warfare. And then you now sometimes look at us. Sometimes when we are praying and you begin to ask a question, do we have an idea of what we're doing? Maybe because we have now left the land, we don't know how to fight anymore. We throw our weapons away. We now accept psychedelic, where everything are done with ease. Drink a cup of tea before you fast. 1 hour into the, you're fasting, you know? Then 2 hours, you tea, coffee break, eat some biscuit, and you are fasting. By 3 p.m., 1 p.m. lunch, you will eat as many loaves of bread as you could, as long as it was not cooked. There are no food. They're just mellow. We've been messed up with that. And I know many of us, when we are coming to this country, we know what we did on the mountain. When people are passing you, you didn't even know nobody was passing you. You were lost. Holy Ghost, you must open that door. That visa, I must get it. I command in Jesus' name, and it is done. Devil, I buy you. Devil, I buy. And then we come here, we don't buy anymore. We are too psychedelic now. We're too sweet. We don't pray anymore. Everything now is easy. You know, as a result, where we come from, every Friday is normally fasting. It's not vigilo. It's just fasting and prayer every Friday. Your pastor didn't have to tell you need to fast on Friday. It's normal. Normal thing. Friday you fast. Wednesday you fast. Some people will add Monday even to eat. More we fast more than we eat. But in this place, we can't. There is candy around. There is burger. There is goody goody here. Everything are available and sweet and cheap. And so we eat it. Chewing gum, that mouth must be shaking every moment. And some say it is night that you're shaking that mouth every day. There is an animal that does that back where I came from. They call them sheep. They are the one that eat all the time. Their mouth never stop. They never stop. But we have turned to that. People are saying we are the one who know how to fight. But are we fighting anymore? So these 5 minutes I have, I want you to fight. I want you to really pray as a fighter. And I want you to hold somebody now. Let's fight. Let's do some little battle here. Let's do some warfare right here. Hold hand with somebody. Hold hand with somebody. Let us really do some battle here. We are more than the conqueror through Christ who loves us. And he has given himself to us. We know that the Spirit of God is in us, and we are more than the conqueror, because he himself has already taken captivity captive, and he has given us gift. It's not that he has overcome. He has overcome for us. All we need to do is to step in and take over. We step in and take over. I want you to begin to pray, Lord, make me violent in the spirit. Let every weakness in me begin to go. Lord, remind me of my calling. Remind me of where I come from. I'm not going to be jello. I'm not supposed to be faint-hearted. I'm not supposed to be weary. I am supposed to be an overcomer. Therefore, I come against the spirit that is lying. Every lying spirit that is saying to me cannot be done. I take authority over you in the name of Jesus. I take authority over you in the name of Jesus. I receive my strength. I receive the grace of God to be strong in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let's just together, you know, I want you to act as if you can see. When Samson was holding that pillar, he sensed it. Something came upon him, and he immediately asked God. He said, I know thousands of people are going to die today. He said, let me die with them. Because he said something. He says something. I want you to sense right now the stronghold that is holding this country captive. And let us pull it down. We are not going to die with it. We will overcome. And we want to say, every stronghold of darkness over this nation, we pull you down. We pull you down. We pull you down. In the name of Jesus. Every stronghold of darkness. Every stronghold of darkness that is taking over this nation, we pull you down, we pull you down, we tear you into pieces in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You see, when we pray on the mountain, we don't stand alone. You don't just stand there. You see people walking around. They are fighting. You are looking at something. And people say, what is he beating? You're beating something. You're fighting something. And I say stronghold, and you stand there the way you stand. How can you push stronghold down the way you stand? I want you to loose your hand and pull down. I want you to see you pulling down, tear into pieces. Use some force. Put some force into it. I tear you down. Every stronghold of darkness, even over my life, I tear you down. Stronghold over this country, I tear you down. I tear you down. I pull you down. In the name of Jesus, I put down every stronghold of darkness, every stronghold of darkness that is controlling the mind of people, that is turning men against their God, that is turning men against the will of God in this country. We pull you down. We shatter you in the name of Jesus. We shatter you. We tear you into pieces in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Lastly, I want you to pray this prayer for yourself. You see, when you're fighting for somebody, God is the one fighting for you. What we're doing here is prayer of intercession, praying for this nation. Then as you're praying for the nation, God is praying for you. And so I want you to pray. There have been so much fear. Oh, maybe somebody is going to be sending you back to Africa. Or somebody is going to be doing this or doing that. But when God establishes you, nobody can disestablish you. Nobody. That person has not been born. Because the Bible says you are like a wind. You are like a wind. He said the wind blow. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it goes. He said, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You are a mystery. You are a mystery. Nobody knows where you're going to go, where you're going to show up. And I want you to begin to challenge every stronghold that is standing against your own life, your marriage, your business, your job. And you say, I tear you into pieces right now. I tear you into pieces. I stand in the name of God. Every stronghold over my life, even that makes your life the dean of all sin now, because you're too cold, you're not hot anymore. Let a stronghold of sin be rooted out, be destroyed over my life, over my family, over the life of my children. I tear into pieces every stronghold of darkness that is fighting me, fighting my family, fighting my homes, fighting my business, fighting my job, fighting my position, fighting my promotion, that makes me jobless. All those strongholds, every family stronghold, every inheritance stronghold that come from the village, it follow you.